When God has spoken, it stands written. And I will not change my mind on what God has said, though it seems as though the whole world go against it, though nobody believes it, though everybody backslides from it, though every condition in the world seems to be just the opposite. If God says it, it shall come to pass. I believe when this thus saith the Lord, that it's thus saith the Lord. It's thus saith truth. This morning, as I lay in my bed, just before I got up, I said to myself, I must get a message for tonight. And then I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach to this people? And immediately, the words of Scripture came to my mind. And as the words came into my mind, hast thou said? And immediately the subject came into my mind. And I got up and rapidly wrote out the message. And I knew that God wanted to deal with a certain problem in this assembly that is here at this time, that although many of you may not be able to know that it's even here, that it is here, and you that are affected will know it. And that's the only thing that's important, that you know it and heed it, because God has given a message that He is saying, in essence, when God speaks, don't question it. But it seems to be that people are great to hold on to the words for a certain length of time, and then they throw the words of God in a garbage can and speak the words of the devil. If you will turn with me to the book of Genesis, in chapter 3 and in verse 1, I want to bring to you this message tonight. And some of you will find that the message as applied will not fit you. But listen, remember this. First of all, that if the message will not fit you as applied, there may be various areas in which it's not applied that you can apply to you, in which it will fit you. And then secondly, remember, even if it doesn't affect you directly, if other people have a problem in assembly, it's affecting you indirectly. And we must be glad that God will speak to various ones in the assembly and get rid of the problem A and problem B and problem C, even though you don't have all of the problems. We'd like to speak to you tonight, therefore, on the subject, has God said? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Hath God said? Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman answered in verse 3, God said, you shall not touch it even, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. These infamous words invented by Satan, which means adversary, caused Eve to question God. Can you imagine a man made of the dust of the earth, by an all-knowing creator who created all things, questioning the one who created him and the world he lives in? Would man be so foolish as to question God? Oh, the foolishness of man, who can't keep himself an hour clean, is born into the world knowing nothing, and is taught by a lot of know-nothings, and to look at the starry heavens that he doesn't see beyond, nor can he fathom either the beginning of all things, nor the end of it, nor the expanse of it, to question in his finite mind the infinite God. And yet I submit unto you that the Lord God himself gave me this message tonight, because sitting in our very midst are people that are questioning the Almighty God. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord that loves you would come and implicate you in your heart and correct you tonight, if your heart is open to take correction from God. Who is man that the Lord is even mindful of him? A simpleton is man, easily beguiled. A fool who takes the word of God, a fool who takes the word of a malicious liar over that of a covenant-keeping God that has saved him. Can you imagine taking the word of a malicious known to be a malicious liar, over the word of God who cannot lie? And in him there's no verbalness or shadow of turning. Will man never learn? Will his dark heart always accuse the Almighty? Does God's impeccable record in the Bible mean nothing at all to the saints of the Most High? Can we not see that such thoughts that come to us come from lying spirits sent by our adversary to discourage us? Will we forever entertain doubts about what God has promised us through the gifts of the Spirit given to us, through confirmations one of another by the Spirit, and through confirmations and witnesses in our own hearts by the Spirit, and through His Word, and through visions given to those in the assembly, and through revelations given the shepherd of the assembly? Has God really a great work for Community Chapel? Then why aren't we setting the world on fire? Is God really going to send in money to build the sanctuary? Then why are we without the funds? Is God really going to use all who will learn His word and walk in the Spirit in some form of ministry, whether it be full-time or otherwise? Then why are college graduates yet without a ministry, some of them? Is God really going to deliver us from demon pressure and put His gifts within and endue us with His power and anointing from on high? Then why are we still bound and weak? Is God really going to bless us with a great latter rain from heaven, and by it enable us to bring in a great and mighty harvest in the last days? Then why do we feel dry and discouraged? Is God really going to pour out His love upon us and take us into heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Then why do we have trouble praying? Is God really going to expand our Bible college? Then why is enrollment slowing down percentage-wise? Will God really meet my needs for a mate? Then why am I still single and lonely and without dates? Has God really spoken to the pastor? Has God really given visions to his wife? Has God really spoken to the prophecies and the interpretations given in the assembly? Then why are we thus? Why? 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 Hath God said? Oh, senseless, blind, arrogant dust of the earth, how long will this evil generation question God? How long will he not only snub the signs and the power and the anointing and the miracles of God, but tie God to his own stopwatch? How long will he set himself up to be God's investigator? How long will he write God's schedule for him? How long will he disdain what God has already done here? How long will he decide that faith is based on the present? For that which a man hath, why does he yet hope for? As the scripture says, hath God said that God shall break Pharaoh's hard heart and deliver Israel? Then why has Pharaoh refused? Why has Pharaoh withstood Moses? Then why has Pharaoh withstood the plagues these 9 times? Then why are the Israelites put to even harder work? Surely the Lord doth lie. Hath God said he will deliver Israel? Surely his plan doth fail. Hath God said Israel shall occupy a good land? Then why is this great Red Sea before them? And why does Pharaoh's army ride after them to destroy them? And why don't they see the hand and the power of the Almighty God as they stand at the Red Sea? Hath God said that he would send his angel before them to keep them in the way as they journey on to Canaan? Then why do they thirst? And why are the people discouraged? Surely Moses hath not heard God's voice. Surely Moses has lied to the people. There must be another shepherd other than God's choice for them. Surely Israel hath peaked and shall become a byword in the earth. Hath God sent Abraham to Canaan? Hath God promised to bless him there? Then why is there a famine in the land? Hath God promised that through Isaac shall he become a father of a multitude? Then why did God require Isaac to be put to death? Hath God given a dream to Joseph, saying that God would elevate him over his brothers? Then why is he put in the pit? And why are his brothers selling him to slave traders? Do you call this fulfillment? Do you call this blessing? Is this any way to fulfill prophecy? And did God say Joseph would be elevated over his own father? Then what is he doing in prison in Egypt? He's been there for nearly 2 years. Do you call that divine favor? Surely the dream was a lie. Hath God promised to drive out the inhabitants of Canaan? Then why has Ai routed Israel? Surely God hath lied. Hath God promised victory for Israel? Then why do the Midianites oppress them? And why does even Gideon thresh wheat in secret? This is victory? Hath God anointed David to be king over Israel? Then why doth he flee from Saul? Hath God called Elijah the prophet? Then why doth he run from Ahab and Jezebel? Hath God promised the restoration of the temple of Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity? Then why is the work stopped? And why is Israel hindered? Hath God said, surely it shall not be so. Surely Nehemiah should not be listened to. Surely Ezra should not be listened to. Surely Israel should be realistic and go back and take care of their own homes. Surely their own homes comes first. Surely God did not expect this great sacrifice of them. Hath God chosen Job and blessed him? Is Job righteous with God? Is Job God's man in counsel of men? Then why has he lost all? And why has this sickness come upon him? Has he not cried unto God without answer? Hath not God forsaken him? Hath he not suffered enough? Hath he not sinned, therefore God has turned his back on him? Hath God called Jeremiah to the ministry? Then why is his voice sneered at? Why is he disregarded? Why is he unpopular? Why is he denounced? Why is he derided? Hath not God lied to him as he did to Jonah? Hath God called Jesus to be the Christ, the Savior of the world? Then why is he mocked? And why is he without a home? And why is he forsaken at Calvary? And why is he crucified? Surely God hath not sent him. Surely a greater than he must come. Surely this is no path to victory. Will every knee indeed bow to him? The elders of Israel reject him. The Romans disdain him. The Gentiles ignore him. Only the rabble look to him as a prophet. And even they forsake him. Even the 12 forsake him. Surely he shall die without glory. See, he saveth no one. Hath God called Paul? Then why is he persecuted? Then why is he stoned? Then why is he whipped? Then why is he shipwrecked? Then why is he imprisoned? Surely this is no way to hold an apostolic office. Surely this is no credit to God. He must be in the flesh. Surely he's out of the will of the Lord. This cannot be God's will. Wake up, Paul. Go home. Marry your wife. Serve a God that will bless you. You're a failure. Let's not invite anyone to Community Chapel Bible College. God is not in it. God did not give his orders to build it. The past and present is but a dreamer. He's but a builder of his own empire. God is not with him. See, the work struggleth. It is outside the will of God. It will never amount to anything. Forsake it. Build your own cozy nest. This is God's will for you. See, the students grow weary. They become faint and discouraged. Surely God hath not called them here. Surely all is a mistake. Witness for Jesus, but leave every man to his own doing. For God no longer has Community Chapel in his plan. No rain shall fall here. See how the people fall asleep at the prayer pew. See how sin is in the camp. See how the people are still sick. I rebuke you lying spirits that cause the tongues of the sons of God to wag thus. Every evil lying spirit that comes into the sons of God and discourages them with such lies should be rebuked in the name of Jesus. And not passed on to his neighbor. From man to man, each man discouraging his neighbor with lies from the pit of hell. Saying when the Bible college has peaked, the elders are confused and don't even know whether to build a church or not. It must not come. No reason to send people here because I'm bogged down in my classes. I rebuke those lying spirits that caused that tongue set on fire of hell to spread such disastrous diseases to God's holy people in the assembly of the righteous. When God hath said, it shall be done. I want to tell you, brother, God's got everything under control. I want to tell you that not one jot, no one tittle shall pass from all that God says until every bit of it comes to pass. The sanctuary shall be built. The sons of God will come to full age. God will yet rise up a mighty deliverance in the earth. God will yet use this people that he is preparing. God has not called them in vain. The bread cast upon the waters shall return again. The wheat that's planted in the ground and dies shall come forth a hundredfold. God shall do miracles and the rain shall fall. And the lake shall be, the pond shall become one lake. And the barrier shall be broken down. And every man shall have the faith of his neighbor. And we shall speak the same things. And the body shall move forth with power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. I want to ask you a question. If God's word is true, and if God is going to have a latter rain and a mighty deliverance in the earth, if we are not the people that God has called to work in this plan, and I don't mean exclusively, but if we are not the people in God's plan, where are the people in God's plan? Where are they? Despise not the day of small beginnings, saith the Lord. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. For the servant is not greater than his master. And if they persecuted the prophets before you, they will also persecute you. But be thou faithful, even unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to pass the things that are. He can start with that which is not, and bring to pass that which is, and he has proven it by the universe you live in. Now you try to take nothing and make something out of it. I challenge you to take nothing and make something out of it. Even take a smooth glass table with nothing on it, and out of nothing you make something even the size of a pea. All the brains in the world cannot do it. And God has taken nothing and created a vast universe of mighty suns and stars and galaxies, with enormous power, with fantastic heat and energy. And shall man point his bony finger at God and accuse the Almighty and say, thou hast spoken and it shall not come to pass? Would he say anything is too hard for God? Would he say, see, it hasn't happened and it shall not be? Shall man write God's schedule? Shall he be God's investigator? Would he call God to the bar of judgment and pronounce him a liar? Let God be true and every man a liar. Chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul says, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things under this day. And yet I want you to know, although Paul was derided by others about him and made the filth of the world, that they turned the world upside down for Jesus in the words of their enemies themselves. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickened not the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Not according to circumstances, not according to what your eye does see, not according to the oldness of the flesh, but according to that which is spoken by the Almighty God. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham did not consider the fact that he was too old to have a baby when God says, you shall have a baby. And so when people said, you are too old, Abraham looked them at him in the face and said, what's that got to do with it? That's got nothing to do with it. God has got to do with it. He can cause stones to raise up to be children of Abraham if he wants to. After all, stones and people are made out of the same atomic elements. That's right. Same electrons and protons and so forth, just arranged in a different way. God can take stones and make people, like he took the dust of the earth and made people. He can make anything he wants out of anything else. He holds everything in his own hand. Every single thing, and this will even all scientists say that man lodged and bowed before as gods, admit that everything is made of electrons and photons and neutrons in different combinations. Cotton is made of the same material as steel. And wood is made of the same material as people. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God even when it looked absolutely impossible. And being fully persuaded. Some people are not fully persuaded about the ministry, about the churches going on in the college and the rest of it, because they are victims of the adversary, the devil. Because they've opened their minds and their heart to defeatism and believe the devil rather than God. Because they do not have the faith of Abraham. Because they look with carnal eyes. Because they've allowed lying spirits to persuade them, say, hath God said. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. The Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Hamartia missed the mark with grave consequences following. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. The work shall be accomplished. God shall deliver his people out of spiritual Egypt with a high hand. It doesn't make any difference if they're still groveling in the mud pits. If God says they shall be delivered, they shall be delivered. Every impossible thing I brought to you tonight came to pass. And every single one of them could just as justifiably be questioned as whether God would do it as to what he has promised us. And more so. The temple of God shall be built. And someday we shall rule and reign with him. And he shall receive us saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. And when we say to him, why sayest thou, well done, thou good and faithful servant? What have we done good? About the only thing he can say is, you have believed that the Almighty God is Almighty. That's about the extent of it. And that's about the extent of what he requires. That you believe that God is God. That shouldn't be too difficult. And especially when you see the record of God, it should be quick to invest in that bank. The scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Now, I want to ask the question. If God, as the scripture says, hath long patience for the former and the latter rain and the fruits of the earth, should not God's people also have the same patience? Should not we follow his example? And if God hath long patience waiting for the fruit of the earth, shall he not in the end have the fruit of the earth? Shall the God who made all things fail? Cannot the watchmaker make his own watch to work? Cannot the creator of all make his plan to work? Hath he made all life and wisdom, and will he, the fount of wisdom, fail? And be bungled by spirits that he has created. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God opens a door, who can shut it? Have faith in God, Jesus commanded. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God cannot lie. God hath spoken, and it shall be done just like he said. Say not, like the unbelieving in Samaria at the time of the siege when the Assyrians were about them. And when it was promised during the height of a horrible famine that tomorrow about this same time wheat and barley shall be sold in the gates of Samaria very cheaply. And the man who questioned the word of the God from the prophet said, well, if God would open windows in heaven and pour out the grain, would it actually drop to that price by tomorrow morning? About the same time. And the prophet said unto him by the word of the Lord, because you have not believed the word of God through his prophet, tomorrow you shall see this with your own eyes, but you shall not taste of it. And the record tells us the next day he was trod upon by a horde of hungry people coming to buy wheat at a cheap price. He saw it with his eyes, was trampled to death, and never tasted thereof. Say not, shall this thing be, lest you see it with your eyes, but do not taste. I would like you to stand. I would like someone to come to the piano. I have not brought this message out of any disturbance in my own soul. I have not brought it out of anything but a heart of love for my sons and daughters in the faith, for those that love God that are healed. But God does not like his word to be questioned. God does not like his people discouraging one another. He tells them to encourage one another, to lift up one another's hands. And there are those here in the assembly, and I don't know who you are. I don't know one name. But you know, and God knows. And I'm not saying tonight that you have passed on these infamous words, hath God said. But what I am saying tonight, those I'm appealing to, and I'm going to give one altar call, we're not through the service tonight, this is just an interlude. But what I am saying, while the message is still hot, out of the breath of my mouth, upon your hearts, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your hearts. You that have been implicated by the Holy Ghost, you that have begun to lose heart and lose faith and begin to question whether God has ordained this school or this church, or begin to question whether this place is worth sending people to, or begin to question whether you'll ever have a ministry when you know that God has sent you and called you for a ministry. I'm not talking about those who do not know they'll ever have a full-time ministry. I'm not even talking about full-time ministries. Everyone shall have a ministry that is filled with a spirit that loves God, knows his word, and walks in the spirit. Whether he has a full-time ministry or not, he will have a substantial ministry and work to do in the body. And if you tonight have grown weary and well-doing, you're about given up, you're discouraged, you feel like that this thing isn't going to go on, where are all the promises? I haven't seen them. You realize you have been guilty of setting God's timetable for him. God never told you, and we never told you, that in 1 year or 2 years or any particular length of time that you would see any particular thing. But we have said it shall come to pass, and it shall. And tonight you realize that you have been a victim of the adversary. You realize that Satan has come in and taken over that area and discouraged you, brought you to the slough of despair and discouragement, questioning God, and maybe passing it on to others. I'd like to invite you to forward tonight for about 5 minutes to repent. We're going to pray for you. Ask God to deliver you from any discouragement. Take care of it in your heart. I believe God wants to take care of it. Judgment begins first at the house of God.
We're moving into an area where God is not going to let things go on. When things happen in our life, God's going to put his finger on it. We're going to get them taken care of. If we don't, we're going to get into trouble. It's our only safety. If you are not chastised, then you are bastards indeed, the Bible says. Illegitimate children, if God does not correct you, and you need correcting. Because he chastises his own people. And if you're his own, when you need correction, he'll correct you. And that's our safety. Somebody come to the platform to sing, two or three or four maybe. While they're singing, for just a moment, you that feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, you come forward. Just kneel all over the front. We're going to pray for you. Not going to lay hands on you, but we're going to pray for you. Just come on down and repent before God and let you just pray a while. Keep the tone down, keep your level down until we stop singing. You may be coming while we're singing. And then we're going to pray for all of you after you've prayed a few moments. I want the whole congregation, when we start praying, just to pray for them, that God will help them, encourage them in the faith, and give faith to the whole assembly, and build it up, keep the vision bright.